How do I know this is so? The morning mushroom knows nothing of twilight and dawn. The summer cicada knows nothing of spring and autumn. They're the short-lived. South of Chu, there's a caterpillar which counts 500 years as one spring and 500 years as one autumn. Long, long ago, there was a great rose of Sharon that counted 8,000 years as one spring and 8,000 years as one autumn. They are the long-lived. Yet Peng Tzu alone is famous today for having lived a long time, and everybody tries to ape him. Isn't it pitiful? Among the questions of Tang to Qi, we find the same thing. In the bald and barren north, there is a dark sea, the Lake of Heaven. In it is a fish which is several thousand li across, and no one knows how long. His name is Kun. There is also a bird there named Pang, with a back like Mount Tai and wings like clouds filling the sky. He beats the whirlwind, leaps into the air, and rises up 90,000 li, cutting through the clouds and mist and shouldering the blue sky, and then he turns his eyes south and prepares to journey to the southern darkness. The little quail laughs at him, saying, "Where does he think he's going? I give a great leap and fly up, but I never get more than 10 or 12 yards before I come down fluttering among the weeds and brambles. And that's the best kind of flying anyway. Where does he think he's going?" Such is the difference between big and little. Therefore, a man who has wisdom enough to fill one office effectively, good conduct enough to impress one community, virtue enough to please one ruler, or talent enough to be called into service in one state, has the same kind of self-pride as these little creatures. Sung Jun-su would certainly burst out laughing at such a man. The whole world could praise Sung Jun-su, and it wouldn't make him exert himself. The whole world could condemn him, and it wouldn't make him mope. He drew a clear line between the internal and the external, and recognized the boundaries of true glory and disgrace. But that was all. As far as the world went, he didn't fret and worry, but there was little ground he left unturned. Therefore, I say, the perfect man has no self, the holy man has no merit, the sage has no fame. Yao wanted to cede the empire to Hu Xie. "When the sun and moon have already come out," he said, "it's a waste of time to go on burning the torches, isn't it? When the seasonal rains are falling, it's a waste of water to go on irrigating the fields. If you took the throne, the world would be well ordered. I go on occupying it, but all I can see are my failings. I beg to turn over the world to you." Su Yu said, "You govern the world, and the world is already well governed. Now, if I take your place, will I be doing it for a name? But name is only the guest of reality. Will I be doing it so I can play the part of a guest? When the tailor bird builds her nest in the deep wood, she uses no more than one branch. When the mole drinks at the river, he takes no more than a bellyful. Go home and forget the matter, my lord. I have no use for the rulership of the world. Though the cook may not run his kitchen properly, the priest and impersonator of the dead at the sacrifice do not leap over the wine casks and sacrificial stands and go take his place. Jian Wu said to Lin Che, I was listening to Chia Yu talk, and he was talking big and nothing to back it up, going on and on without turning around. I was completely dumbfounded at his words. No more end than the Milky Way, wild and wide of the mark, never coming near human affairs. What were his words like? Asked Lian Shi. He asked that there is a holy man living on a faraway Kushe mountain, with skin like ice or snow, and gentle and shy like a young girl. He doesn't eat the five grains, but sucks the wind, drinks the dew, climbs up on the clouds and mist, rides a flying dragon, and wanders beyond the four seas. By concentrating his spirit, he can protect creatures from sickness and plague and make the harvest plentiful. I thought this was all insane and refused to believe it. You would, said Lian Shi. We can't expect a blind man to appreciate the beautiful patterns or a deaf man to listen to bells and drums, and blindness and deafness are not confined to the body alone. The understanding has them too, as your words just now have shown. This man, with this virtue of his, is about to embrace the 10,000 things and roll them into one. Though the age calls for reform, why should he wear himself out over the affairs of the world? There's nothing that can harm this man. We'll be right back. Though floodwaters pile up to the sky, he will not drown. Though a great drought melts metal and stone and scorches the earth and hills, he will not be burned. From his dust and leavings alone, you could mold a Yao or a Shun. Why should he consent to bother about mere things? A man of Sung who sold ceremonial hats made a trip to Yue. But the Yue people cut their hair short and tattooed their bodies and had no use for such things. Yao brought order to the people of the world and directed the government of all within the seas. But he went to see the four masters of the faraway Kushe mountain. And when he got home, north of the Fen River, he was dazed and had forgotten his kingdom there. Hui Tzu said to Chuang Tzu, "The king of Wei gave me some seeds of a huge gourd. I planted them, and when they grew up, the fruit was big enough to hold 5 bhikkhus. I tried using it for a water container, but it was so heavy I couldn't lift it. I split it in half to make divers, but they were so large and unwieldy that I couldn't dip them into anything. It's not that the gourds weren't fantastically big, but I decided they were no use, and so I smashed them to pieces." Chuang Tzu said, "You certainly are dense when it comes to using big things. In Sung, there was a man who was skilled at making a salve to prevent chapped hands, and generation after generation, his family made a living by bleaching silk and water. A traveler heard about the salve and offered to buy the prescription for 100 measures of gold. The man called everyone to a family council. 'For generations we've been bleaching silks, and we've never made more than a few measures of gold,' he said. 'Now, if we sell our secret, we can make 100 measures in one morning. Let's let him have it!' The traveler got the salve and introduced it to the king of Wu, who was having trouble with the state of Yue. The king put the man in charge of his troops, and that winter they fought a naval battle against the man of Yue and gave them a bad beating. A portion of the conquered territory was awarded to the man as fief. The salve had the power to prevent chapped hands in either case, but one man used it to get a fief, while the other one never got beyond silk bleaching, because they used it in different ways. Now you had a gourd big enough to hold 5 bhikkhus. Why didn't you think of holding it into a great tub so you could go floating around the rivers and lakes instead of worrying because it was too big and unwieldy to dip into things? Obviously, you still have a lot to underbrush in your head." Hui Tzu said to Chuang Tzu, "I have a big tree of the kind men called Shu. Its trunk is too gnarled and bumpy to apply the measuring line to. Its branches too bent and twisty to match up to a compass or square. You could stand by the road and no carpenter would look at it twice. Your words, too, are big and useless, and so everyone alike spurns them." Chuang Tzu replied, "Maybe you've never heard of a wild cat or a weasel. It crouches down and hides, watching for something or someone to come along. It leaps and races east and west, not hesitating to go high nor low. It falls into trap and dies in the net. Then again, there's the yak, big as a cloud covering the sky. It certainly knows how to be big, though it doesn't know how to catch rats. Now you have this big tree and you're distressing because it's useless. Why don't you plant it in the Not Even Anything Village or the Field of Broad and Boundless? Relax! Do nothing by its side or lie down for a free and easy sleep under it. Axes will never shorten its life. Nothing can ever harm it. There's no use for it. How can it come to grief or pain? This is the Plaid Paisley Read-Along Hour. I'm Plaid Paisley. We are reading the complete works of Chuang Tzu, translated by an American of some sort, Burton Watson, I think. We now move on to section 2, entitled Discussion on Making All Things Equal. Tzu Chi of South Wall sat leaning on his armrest, staring up at the sky and breathing, vacant and far away, as though he'd lost his companion. Yan Cheng Tzu Yu, who was standing by his side in attendance, said, "What is this? Can you really make the body like a withered tree and the mind like dead ashes? The man leaning on the armrest now is not the one who leaned on it before. Zi Qi said, "You do well to ask the question, Yan. Now I have lost myself. Do you understand that? You hear the piping of men, but you haven't heard the piping of earth. Or if you've heard the piping of earth, you haven't heard the piping of heaven." Zi Yu said, "May I venture to ask what this means?" Zi Qi replied, "The great claw that belches out breath, and its name is wind. So long as it doesn't come forth, nothing happens. But when it does, then 10,000 hollows begin crying wildly. Can't you hear them? Long drawn out. In the mountain forests that lash and sway, there are huge trees, 100 spans around, with hollows and openings like noses, like mouths, like ears, like jugs, like cups, like mortars, like rifts, like ruts. They roar like waves, whistle like arrows, screech, gasp, cry, wail, moan, and howl. Those in the lead calling out, those behind calling out, in a gentle breeze they answer faintly, but in a full gale the chorus is gigantic. And when the fierce wind has passed on, then all the hollows are empty again. Have you never seen the tossing and trembling that goes on? Tsuya said, "By the piping of earth, then you mean simply the sound of these hollows? And by the piping of man, the sound of flutes and whistles? But may I ask about the piping of heaven?" Zi Qi said, "Blowing on the 10,000 things in a different way so that each can be itself, all take what they want for themselves, but who does the sounding? Great understanding is broad and unhurried. Little understanding is cramped and busy. Great words are clear and limpid. Little words are shrill and quarrelsome. In sleep, men's spirits go visiting. In waking hours, their bodies hustle. With everything they meet, they become entangled. Day after day, they use their minds in strife, sometimes grandiose, sometimes sly, sometimes petty. Their little fears are mean and trembly, their great fears are stunned and overwhelming. They bound off like an arrow or a crossbow pellet, certain they are the arbiters of right and wrong. They cling to their position as though they had sworn before the gods, sure that they are holding on to victory. They fade like fall and winter. Such is the way they dwindle day by day. They drown in what they do. You cannot make them turn back. They grow dark as though sealed with seals. Such are the excesses of their old age. And when their minds draw near to death, nothing can restore them to the light." Delight, worry, regret, fickleness, inflexibility, modesty, willfulness, candor, insolence, music from empty holes, mushrooms singing up in the dampness, day and night replacing each other before us, and no one knows where they sprout from. Let it be, let it be. It is enough that morning and evening we have them. They are the means by which we live. Without them, we would not exist. Without us, they would have nothing to take hold of. This comes close to the matter, but I do not know what makes them the way they are. It would seem as though they have some true master, and yet I find no trace of it. That was some sections early on in the Chuangzi, translated by Burton Watson. I'm Plaid Paisley, and this has been Read-Alongs with Plaid Paisley. Find us next week as we go into the great work of Salman Rushdie, his children's story, Harun and the Sea of Stories. Find us then. Listen on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/theyurt. Or find us live. You just have to find me and follow me through my day until I do this. Until next time, this is Plaid Paisley. Keep your days fruitful, short, and excessive. Happy Earth Day.